Our community connection is in Lackawanna and Bradford counties, where Danny Ruff, founder of Chop Out Hunger, remembers her daughter's concern about a classmate with no money or food for lunch. The story brought back memories and the inspiration to do something. Danny Ruff takes the story from here.
Way back when, my daughter had come home from school and had recognized if kids didn't have money for lunch, they just didn't get to eat. And this was at the high school level. They would come into the cafeteria and kind of mull about and sit there at the table and not have anything. And it was really bothering her. And she came home from school and was telling me about it and said, "Mom, you have to do something." And so that's where the idea was born. From our two branches, we serve between 16 and 20 counties. And I know it seems weird to have a number that fluctuates, but some programs will come on and some will drop off. And so it's always kind of an ebb and flow. But we're serving 30 plus thousand people a week, students primarily, between our in-school pantries where the kids have daily access to go in and grab what they need, that and our backpack program.
What is the backpack program?
Oh, yeah, I love this program. It's so great for the younger kids. And what we do is we pre-pack a bag of food, and it'll be two breakfasts, two dinners, two fruit / veggies, whatever we can source. And then a handful of snacks. And those snacks might look like granola bars or little bags of popcorn, or sometimes we get some Girl Scout cookies and they're a fun treat to throw in there because who doesn't love a Girl Scout cookie? But yeah, that's what they look like. So the breakfast will look like anything from an instant breakfast drink or oatmeal packets or small cereal cups or granola, things like that. Easy to prepare items. And then dinner is a wide range of things. So pre-prepared rice that you just have to microwave, or some pasta, macaroni and cheese cups, fun things that kids will enjoy eating.
So who helps fill the backpacks?
Oh goodness, we have so many volunteers. We are so blessed to have over 1,500 volunteers that support our programs. One of the cool things that we found is people truly want to help. They just need an outlet for that. They need to know how to help. And by building a program that's so simplistic, almost, everybody can help. We've got very young kids who come in. We've got very old senior citizens who come in. We have tons and tons of volunteers from all over the place and all sorts of skill levels. And there's opportunities for everyone to do something.
Do your volunteers outnumber those you're serving?
No, we're serving tens of thousands every week. But the volunteers are able to get the job done so quickly and efficiently and have all sorts of fun while they're doing it. So it almost feels like a non-task because they're just in there hanging out and doing their thing, and it's really great. We currently have a group right now down there from one of the universities locally, packing bags, ready to go for the week.
So what is a day in the life of Chop Out Hunger?
Well, for our school-based programs, it looks like us loading our cargo vans first thing in the morning so they can start getting to schools as soon as the schools open to make our deliveries. And then the vans will come back, get another load on, and then go back out to the next set of schools. So we're on the road all day, every day. We host mobile distributions. So that's typically our Tawanda branch that does that. We have a bunch of counties up in the northern tier where we'll take our vans out, and we are partnered with Central Pennsylvania Food Bank up there, and they will bring a box truck full of food, unload, and then we'll hand out to hundreds of cars. And that happens a few times a week between our produce distributions and our regular pop-up distributions. So that's what we're doing on any given day, packing bags, delivering bags.
What about during the summertime, though, when the kids aren't going to school? Do you still have the backpacks and make sure that they have something to eat?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So in the summertime, a lot of schools are still open. They'll have summer school or different programs. So we'll drop bags off if they want it. We'll still have school pantries if they choose to. But in the summertime, it gives us an opportunity to partner with a lot more organizations. So a lot of library networks we partner with because that's where the kids are in the summer. Community centers, things like that, churches, arts programs. So wherever we find that kids are congregating, that's where we like to partner up to make sure that they have their needs met all summer long.
You sound like you're doing a lot of really positive networking, and this is great because more people are learning about what you do. Now, we were talking about the food insecurity, and you gave me a number a little while ago and kind of rounded it out. You're very much aware that food insecurity is on the rise. Here we are in 2026, a land of plenty, and yet there's food insecurity here.
Food insecurity is definitely on the rise, and even since we've been doing this, so we're only 6 years old, we've seen such a drastic shift in the charitable food network. So food insecurity is definitely on the rise. Prices are crazy out of hand. People are kind of disconnected from where their food comes from. So in the past, if there was food insecurity in a family, there's always that garden to fall back on, or their chickens in their backyard. And that really has gone away for the most part. So there's no safety net for families anymore. Their neighbors aren't growing food either, so they can't share their surplus. So we're really missing that piece there. But within the Charitable Food Network, one of the things that's happened is all the food that used to end up at the food banks is now going to a lot of discount grocery stores. And so it's not flowing into the free areas anymore like it used to. So we're even struggling on finding enough food to make our programs run efficiently.
Knowing that, what is Plan B for something like this?
Plan B is we've been purchasing a lot of wholesale food. We've been trying to partner up with other organizations to do bulk purchasing so we can continue to get the discount, and then trying to make relationships wherever we can to source food on our own. We're also working with some farmers to, you know, get some more of that fresh stuff into the bags and into the school pantries and be able to pay them properly outside of the Charitable Food Network. Yeah.
Aside from doing some amazing work in the communities that you serve, do you ever offer like cooking classes to help people say, okay, these are the things that we have for you today, and if you don't know how to prepare them, there's some easy ways that we can show you? Do you have any little outlet programs so that moms can learn a little something about what they're going to be getting on a given day?
That's really interesting that you asked that, because we did do that right in the middle of COVID, it feels like, when our branch was in Tunkhannock. We partnered with Penn State Extension, and it was maybe a four-week class, and every week they'd come in and learn how to make something and then be able to take the ingredients home. And it was so valuable. We really loved that. And I was talking to Penn State Extension. It's really so interesting that you brought that up. I was talking to them not too long ago about trying to get that going again at our Towanda branch.
Mm-hmm. That would be fabulous.
Right? Yeah, I think it'd be really great.
And I think it really empowers moms and young moms to say, okay, we're going to have this for dinner, and I know how to do it, and mm-hmm. my family's going to have a good meal.
And there's times that we can source things, and people will be like, well, what do I do with a rutabaga? You know, if you don't know, you don't know. But if that's what we can source, we want to teach people how they can use it, because otherwise, where's it going? In the garbage or to a pig farm or something? So we want to make sure that people know how to utilize what we're handing out, too.
Chop Out Hunger was through the observation of a child. So how are children responding to Chop Out Hunger as you're talking to them about food insecurity and so forth? Are they becoming little advocates, or are they frightened by the fact that their friends might be going hungry?
No, this is really an interesting topic as well. So when we started with the backpack program, and it was 45 kids up there in rural Bradford County that were getting this bag to take home, and it really quickly blew up. We were 1,200 kids almost in no time. But what we realized is the elementary kids were so proud to take that bag. They were excited. They were ripping into it, wanting to see what they had. They were making trades with their friends. And then as soon as they got to the high school level, all of a sudden they felt this stigma and didn't want to participate in the backpack program anymore, even though they still had the need. It felt different to them. And so we incorporated the school pantries. And the way we set them up is it's in an open room. So a library, or right out in the hall, or even a room like this where it's easy access. You don't have to sign up to go in. You don't have to leave your name. It's really a stigma-free environment. So all the kids are going in there and grabbing what they need for that night, seeing all the other kids in there, and nobody feels any sort of way about it. And so what we feel and what we've seen in our data is we've really normalized the fact that people need food. Sometimes they need extra support, and advocating for those needs for yourself, knowing, hey, there's no food at home tonight. I'm not a victim. I know where to get my resources. I'm going to go get them so I can eat tonight, has been really freeing for these kids. I have principals who have gone on to get their doctorates because they've done the research on how our programs change the vibe of the school, how it shifts the mindset of these kids, how their grades are better and their truancy is down. And it's really powerful to see it in action.
We were thinking about the high school aged kids. hopefully will go on to college someday. And yet you said that there's that stigma once they reach the high school ages. Do you think you'd ever want to start a symposium or some sort of a smaller group featuring just the high school kids going out and helping other kids their age?
Yeah. You know, I wonder if you're in my brain. It's really interesting. It's like you're privy to the conversations I've just been having. So kudos to you for asking the right questions. We're on the same wavelength. So a few years ago, we had kicked around the idea of starting a student-led, kind of like a sub-board. And we just revisited it now. We're launching it now. And so we're going to have representatives from every school that we serve on a junior board that will advocate for what we're doing. They'll bring feedback to us from their particular school to let us know how we can serve them better. And then one of them will sit on our actual board and report up. So it'll really pull these students in so they can actually be a voice at the table. Another piece of it is not only is it going to give them the opportunity to help us make their programs better, they're going to learn about how nonprofits work. They're going to learn about how the Charitable Food Network works, how to fundraise, how boards work. And it'll really set them up to give as they're adults of their time, treasure, and talent.
I love that phrase, time, treasure, and talent. And maybe someday they may feel compelled to start a nonprofit of their own.
Perhaps.
You never know. These little seeds that you plant, they germinate. And sometimes people really run with an idea. It's the worst thing to feel stigmatized, but to have people around you that are around your same age that understand the situation, we get it, and we're going to work together to make things better.
Yeah.
You could rest easy knowing that there's another generation that's going to be doing the same thing you're going to be doing.
Absolutely. Until there's not a need for it anymore. That's the goal.
That's the goal. That's the overall goal. Now, you have a lot of different types of programs, CHOP does, for the different age ranges, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So tell us about some of the programs that you offer to inform the students about what you do.
Oh, sure. So, you know, I've already talked about the backpack program and the in-school pantry. And one of the things that we recognized is we can't provide them with the best quality food because a gallon of milk is not going to sit in your backpack bag and be stable, and the little kids can't carry that home. So that's why we started hosting those mobile distributions, the pop-up pantries. And that's where we go right into the community, still no questions asked type of situation. Nobody's getting turned away. And the families then can come really stock up on the frozen meat and the fresh produce and the pantry staples, paper products, that kind of thing, to round out what we're handing the kids. But then we recognize that there's a lot of senior citizens who are either raising kids or just really struggling because they're trying to survive off what little they get. And so then we started doing home delivery to senior citizens that were shut in on the days that we had extra time to run our van routes. It's really trying to dig into the nooks and crannies of the communities and be a really great neighbor and just have a whole network where there's not food insecurity. And if there is, if it pops up, they know exactly where to get their resources from.
You know, I've been hearing stories, Danny, about how nonprofit organizations are sort of piggybacking their services to help the elderly, especially where they can't get out and go to the food pantries. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's too cold, or maybe they just can't make it down there. Maybe one particular nonprofit might partner with Meals on Wheels, for example, and have the meals delivered. Do you have other nonprofits up and around your region that you might be able to consider that idea?
Part of our actual mission statement has collaboration in it because you can't meet all the needs of a community on your own. You have to really strategically partner because it's tough out there. Everyone's competing for funding and everyone's competing for airtime and resources. And if you can partner up with someone, it just makes the load lighter for everyone. So for us, if we aren't using a van on Fridays, offering that up to another nonprofit so they can make their deliveries or do what they need to do or do a pickup on Fridays. We've partnered with other organizations so we can put things like Bomba socks in our weekend bags or dental packs. So we've partnered with Benco, an anonymous funder, so we could put toothbrushes and toothpaste and floss in our weekend bags and in our school pantries because then it goes directly home with the kids. We know it's in their hand. They don't have to count on someone taking them to pick up those resources. And so that's the kind of work we love to do, is those collaborative works.
What fuels your passion for doing this?
It was really interesting when Bailey, my daughter, came home from school and had shared that with me. It was almost like a gut punch. So I grew up, my mom had me as a teen. She was a single mom. And so I grew up that kid that was hungry. I grew up that child who was avoiding the lunchtime. I went to study or I'd go meet with a teacher or make myself scarce so people didn't realize that I didn't have any food to eat. So when she brought that back to me, it was really eye-opening because I think a lot of times kids in that situation feel like they're the only one. They don't want to talk to anyone else about that struggle. And so growing up, I felt I had to be the only one who was struggling with food insecurity. And I'm sure my mother, who also grew up struggling with food insecurity, felt that she was the only one. And so when Bailey brought that to me and I realized this was an opportunity to be to these kids who I would have needed when I was a kid, who my mom would have needed when she was a kid, that just keeps me so motivated. And I know that once we get one school fed, there's always the next school, and then there's the next county, and then someday there'll be the next state. That's the passion, because who am I to say it's time to stop? There's always going to be more kids who need us.
You're a strong lady. You really are a strong lady. And how wonderful you were able to take that situation and turn it around to help thousands. It's the intention. It's the effort. It's putting your heart out there and saying there is the need. And I have an idea as to how we can make it happen. And when you see things coming together, it's like, this is a good idea.
Yes. Every step of the way, it's been a really interesting journey. And I was telling someone the other day, since the day we founded this, every year has been an unprecedented year. And I'm like, could we just have one precedented year, please? Just one. Every day is different. Every year is different. And we just keep going with the flow and trying to meet the needs of these kids the best we can.
Do you ever hear any feedback from the students personally?
Oh, yes. They send the sweetest messages. They do handwritten thank you notes, and it's really powerful. We get a lot of messages from teachers and principals, though, about how it's impacting the kids. When we'll open a new pantry and the kids will just be shaking or crying because they can't even fathom that all that food is for them and that they don't have to do anything special to access it. I mean, imagine being a kid who opens your cupboard and there's absolutely nothing, and then walking into the pantry and knowing, oh my gosh, tonight I get to eat. Right.
You were that child. So when you hear that and you read these notes, all of a sudden this comes right back to you, doesn't it?
It's pretty full circle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's powerful.
Powerful and humbling, but it also shows your strength.
Yeah.
What do you see for the future of Chop Out Hunger? What other kind of programs or initiatives do you have in the pipeline?
We're really just trying to build our resources, build our partnerships, so we can continue to meet the needs of these kids. We know currently that we're just a Band-Aid. That's it. If we don't feed these kids next week, they're hungry next week. While we're being that Band-Aid, we're trying to do behind-the-scenes work, like advocate for free breakfast for all, advocate for free lunch for all, teach the families maybe how to grow a little victory garden so they can learn that, hey, you have a rotten potato. Please don't throw it away. Cut it in four and put it in a pot, and you're going to have a bunch of potatoes. So just starting to teach those little pieces while we're being a Band-Aid for these kids.
Now, since your daughter brought this idea to you a few years back, what is she doing now, and what is she planning on doing with her life?
Well, she went away to college and graduated, and now she works for us. She's now back in the fold and growing the organization and feeding people. Yeah.
Coming full circle and doing great things in the communities. Special thanks to Danny Ruff, founder of Chop Out Hunger in Bradford and in Lackawanna counties. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.